Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pucharane Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschachade Satarane Umanganam Timarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chaksur Nilitam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I'm offering my obeisances unto Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was standing in the midst of darkest ignorance. So in this verse we're looking at today, Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text 5, Krishna begins to explain in general terms his appearance, because tomorrow we're observing the Janmashtami, day of the appearance of Krishna, who came about 5,000 years ago, and that was when he spoke this Bhagavad Gita. So at that time he also explains to Arjuna the general principles by which he descends into this world. Avatar means one who descends. So that's text 5 here, so we can chant this. It begins the explanation here. It goes on for a few more verses, but we'll start. So we'll translation. The personality of Godhead said, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. Before I start reading Prabhupada's purport, let me just point out that this is spoken in reply to a question. In the beginning of this chapter, Krishna says to Arjuna that a long time ago, I spoke this Bhagavad Gita to Vivashvan, the sun god, who then spoke it to Manu, and who then spoke it to Ikshvaku. So actually, many, many long time ago, I spoke it on the sun. There are living beings on the sun, as yet undiscovered by modern science. Because just like if you want to go into the sun, you have to become fire and attain a body made of fire. Just like we have a body that's mostly water, so we can't go onto the sun, but there are beings with fire bodies. Anyway, Krishna knows about it, we don't as yet. So Vivashvan is there, the Lord of the Sun, and he spoke the Bhagavad Gita to him. Now, actually, we know from the Vedic literature something of the time scale. So something like 120,400,000 years ago, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Vivashvan, long time ago. And then he says it was passed down, because Vivashvan, then to Manu, and then Manu to Ikshvaku. Ikshvaku is the first person on this planet. He's the beginning of the dynasty of solar kings. Formerly, the authentic kings descended from the sun. They're called Surya Vamsa Kshatriyas, the Kshatriyas in the dynasty of the sun. Another group of Kshatriyas called Chandravamsa Kshatriyas, they descend from the moon. Just like Lord Krishna took his birth in the moon, the Kshatriyas coming down from the moon. So anyway, Krishna spoke this, and it was passed down many, many thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years, through the what he calls the Rajarshis, the saintly kings. This to us is prehistory. We think there was nothing going on, but actually there was a lot happening then, including these great kings who descended from the sun. And then he said, anyway, this teaching, this Bhagavad Gita, the very thing we are studying today, it was first disclosed this 120 million years ago. And so, anyway, passed down, And then he said, in course of time, it became scattered or lost. And now, again, I'm telling it to you. So Arjuna says, wait a minute. He says, Vivasvan, the sun god, he lived a long time ago, and you're here now. He's quite a deal good older than you. How can it be that you taught it to him? And so this is his answer. Many, many births both you and I have passed. But I can remember them. You can't, Krishna says. This is his beginning of his reply when he describes how he appears or descends upon this planet. So Prabhupada now, he explains. He says, in the Brahma Samhita, that's another Vedic text, 533, he says, we have information of many, many incarnations of the Lord. It is stated there, Adaitam Achutam Manadim Manantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Novayovanam Chavedeshudurlabam Madurlabam Atma Bhakto Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This Brahma Samhita expresses the realized knowledge of Brahma, the first created being, who at the time of the creation of the universe saw through his transcendental vision the Supreme Lord and his abode, and he'd been described it. That's one way we know about Krishna. So here Brahma is describing the Supreme Lord. He calls him Adi Purusham, the first person. He's a Purusha, person or man, male, but Adi Purusha, the first one of all, who is Govindam, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. And he's described here as Advaita. He is without duality. Our situation is we are in a world of duality. And especially the duality which we feel most painful is the duality between ourself, which is a spiritual being, and our body, which is material. We are called jivas, or embodied souls, dehina. We have taken up material bodies. So for us, we are a spiritual being, but we have a material body. Which is puts us in an embarrassed and difficult condition of soul. But for Krishna, actually, he's Advaitam, he's non-dual. So Krishna and Krishna's form are the same. For us, the soul is one thing, then there's the mind, then there's the gross body. And the first thing we learn is in Vedic knowledge, I am not this body. Krishna, Advaita. He's a spiritual being. So between Krishna and Krishna's body, there is no difference. Krishna and Krishna's soul, Krishna's mind and Krishna's soul and Krishna's mind, Krishna, everything is one being. You know? Actually, this body of his, this form of his, spiritual form, also Brahma explains, Angani yasya sakalindriya vritti manti, that his transcendental form is of such a nature that every limb or part of that form can perform all the functions of all the other parts. He's so unified that you take one part of Krishna's form and it can perform all the functions of all his parts. So for example, by seeing, Krishna can taste and touch and smell and so on. So his, in this many ways, Advaitam, he's unified. So even though he has a form, even though Krishna has limbs, every limb is the whole person. And so Advaitam Achutam, he does not fall down, he's infallible. When he comes to this material world, he does not, like us, take on a material body. Advaitam Achutam. Anadim, he has no origin. Anantarupam, but he has multitudinous forms. Anantarupam means he has endless forms. Adyam, the original person, Purana Purusha means the oldest person. Purana means very old. Purana Purusha. So you may think that as Krishna is the original person and the oldest person, that he would be quite an elderly gentleman. Just like when Michelangelo on the roof ceiling of the Sistine Chapel painted God, he endowed him with a long beard. Adam, whom he was touching, was a young man, but God was an old man with a beard. Like they say, God the Father. So, but yes, Krishna is Purana Purusha, oldest person, but Navayovanam cha is like a teenager. Navayovanam means just like that, 16 years old. Who wants to be the oldest person if you have to grow old? So we sometimes have a material conception that if God had a body, then he would be an old man and so on. No. His form is always, everybody knows after 16 it's downhill. But Krishna never goes downhill. So, Navayovanam cha. Vedeshu dulabha madulabha matma bhakto. Very difficult to understand Krishna simply by studying the Vedas, but easily to be obtained by Atma Bhakto, pure devotion of the soul. So this is Krishna's forms, eternal, blissful, all-knowing forms of the Lord are usually not understood by the best of Vedic scholars, but they can be manifest to pure devotees. And again, Prabhupada again quotes from Brahma Samhita. Ramadi murtishu kala niyamena tishtan nana avatara akaro bhuvaneshu kindu krishna swayam sambhavat paramapuman yoga vindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So he is always situated, Govinda Krishna, in various nana avatara, many, many avatars, Rama and so on, means Rama, Nrisinga, and so on. So there are multitudinous anandarupam, ramadi mati shukala niyamena tishtan. But Krishna swayam samamavat paraman pumanyo, but the original personality of Godhead is Krishna himself, who also appears. So there are other forms like Rama, Nrisinga, Vamana, Varaha, these are all expansions, Kala. Krishna has expansions and expansions of expansions, but he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsam Krishnas Tu Bhagavan Swayam. That after recounting many different avatars of Krishna, they are all coming, but then Krishna's too. But Krishna is Bhagavan himself. So he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, Prabhupada continues to explain. In the Vedas, it is also said that the Lord, although one without a second, manifests himself in innumerable forms. So we can't understand this. How can he be one and yet have so many forms? Well, folks, he's God. If we can't understand it, that's only fitting and proper. I may be sitting on this chair, and there may be a cockroach sitting on this chair. Now, we're both sitting here on the same chair and everything, but that cockroach cannot understand me. I may be beyond his conception. There's a big difference between myself and the cockroach. The difference between ourselves and God is even greater. So we cannot grasp the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what he's saying to Arjuna. I've passed many births and I can remember them, but you cannot. Just like Krishna and Arjuna, they're on the same chariot. But there's big difference between Krishna and Arjuna. Big, big difference. They're similar because just like between me and the cockroach, we're the same. A cockroach is a living entity. I'm a living entity. There's some consanguinity between us, actually. We share some similar genetic material by Krishna's plan. So we're brothers in one sense, but still there's a difference. So a big difference between Arjuna and Krishna. So he's explaining. So we can't understand him. So he's one, but he manifests himself. And it's mentioned here, he's like the Vaidurya stone, which changes color, yet remain one. Vaidurya is a kind of gemstone. Sometimes you can see that different gemstones, you see them in different light, they'll look like it changes color. So Krishna also, he has different colors, just like Krishna himself is Shyam, dark blue, his name Shyama Sundar, dark blue and beautiful. But then when he comes as Ramchandra, he's green. When he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's golden. And so on. So he has all kinds of different colors. You don't want God to be limited, do you? So he has so many colors are there, yet the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? All these multi-forms, and Prabhupada describes in the use of this world, multi-forms. Not limited. Sometimes people say, oh, if God is a person, if he has a rupa, if he has a form, then he would be limited. And they want to say that God has no form. But here we see, no, he's ananta rupam. He has multitudinous forms. Certainly if God is entirely, if he's nothing but formless, then that's also a limitation. Here, I can have a form, there's so many forms going around, but God has to be a cloud of gas or something. No. So God is unlimited, and therefore he has unlimited forms. All these multi-forms are understood by the pure, unalloyed devotees, but not by a simple study of the Vedas. Vedai shudurlabham adurlabham arvabhakto. Devotees like Arjuna are constant companions of the Lord, and whenever the Lord incarnates, the associate devotee is also incarnate in order to serve the Lord in different capacities. There's another fact about the incarnations of the Lord. Krishna is not by himself. Just like we see, even a tiny little Lord like the President of the United States, when he travels, he's got his entourage. There's all these guys with the earphones in their ears and their hands in their vests, the Secret Service men, they're traveling with them and his aide-de-camp and so on. So even when the President of the United States travels, you know, there's always four or five cars going along, some in front, some behind, maybe a helicopter overhead. So wherever he goes, there's an entourage, any big man. Even in India, they especially like to do that. I've seen anytime some government minister travels, you know, a whole big show is there, even bigger than the United States. So that's generally we see that a very big person is not by himself. So Krishna's, he's the biggest person. So whenever he appears in this world by avatar, he brings with him his constant companions. After all, if we say Krishna is a person, a Purana Purusha, Adi Purusha, he's a person. So you may notice that people are generally, to be a person is to be in the association of other people. To be a person is to be social. We cannot, as persons, have very much to do by ourselves. So sometimes we need a little relief from other people, but generally after we've had some relief, we go out among other people again. So we're social animals. Person is a social being. So Krishna is also social. So actually, you'll see, he's always together with his devotees. So whenever he appears in this world, he appears together with his devotees. So Arjuna is such a devotee. So he says to Arjuna, we both of us had many births. Now you and I. So we've been together a long time and we've appeared in this earth many, many times together. We are constant companions. Krishna, Arjuna, they're like that, actually. But there's also a difference. One is God and one is a living entity. So the living entity cannot remember. Krishna remembers. So he says, Arjuna is one of these devotees, the Lord's companions. And in this verse, it is understood that some millions of years ago, 120 million we described, when Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god Devasvan, Arjuna, in a different capacity, was also present. They say, you were there, but you don't remember. Your files have been erased. But the difference between the Lord and Arjuna is that the Lord remembered the incident, whereas Arjuna could not remember. That is the difference between the part and parcel living entity and the Supreme Lord. Although Arjuna is addressed herein as mighty hero who can subdue the enemies, Parantapa, means literally a scorcher of the enemies, tapa, he makes the enemies burn up. So subduer of the enemies. He is unable to recall what has happened in his various past births. Therefore, a living entity, however great he may be in material estimation, even if he can be called Parantapa, always victorious, can never equal the Supreme Lord. Anyone who is a constant companion of the Lord is certainly a liberated person, but he cannot be equal to the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is described in the Brahma Samhita as infallible, achyuta, which means that he never forgets himself, even though he is in material contact. Therefore, the Lord and the living entity can never be equal in all respects, even if the living entity is as liberated as Arjuna. Although Arjuna is a devotee of the Lord, he sometimes forgets the nature of the Lord. But by the divine grace, a devotee can at once understand the infallible condition of the Lord, whereas a non-devotee or a demon cannot understand the transcendental nature of Krishna. Consequently, these descriptions in the Bhagavad Gita cannot be understood by demoniac brains. Krishna remembered acts which were performed by him millions of years before, but Arjuna could not, despite the fact that both Krishna and Arjuna are eternal in nature. We may also note herein that a living entity forgets everything due to his change of body. That's why even though we had previous births in this world, we changed our body. And because of that shock of leaving one body behind, taking a new one, so our past is forgotten by us. So Arjuna forgot because he's changed his form. But the Lord remembers because he does not change his Satchidananda body. This said also, beginning of Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. His form is Satchidananda. It's a Vigraha, it's a form. A body of concentrated Brahman, which is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. So Krishna's coming, he does not take on a material body for that purpose. He's a Dvaita. This I've already explained, which means that there is no distinction between his body and himself. Everything in relation to him is spirit, whereas the conditioned soul is different from his material body. And because the Lord's body and self are identical, his position is always different from that of the ordinary living entity, even when he descends to the material platform. The demons cannot adjust themselves to this transcendental nature of the Lord, which the Lord himself explains in the following verse. And then Krishna goes on to explain how he, a little more about his appearance. So here he's saying, this is a Krishna's position. Actually, for Krishna, he says, I can remember them, For Krishna, his appearance millions of years ago is like yesterday. Well, not even like yesterday, like the previous second. Albert Einstein has discovered the relativity of time. He says that when something accelerates toward the speed of light, that its time goes slower relative to us. Say, if we're here and there's some body accelerating, moving toward the speed of light, the closer it gets to the speed of light, the time goes slower. Clocks slow down. If you had some spaceship that went to the speed of light, the clock would slow down. So if someone could travel away from the Earth close to the speed of light and come back, millions of years might pass here on the Earth, but for them, only a few moments has passed. And that's sort of what the theory says, relativity. But actually, the Vedas described this already many, many thousands of years ago. Because in many places it describes that living beings from the earth will go up to one of the higher planets of the Devatas. And it says there that among the Devatas, like Indra, one of their days is six of our months. So somebody will come here, go up to the Devatas, and come back down again. And for them, only a short time has passed, but down here, generations have gone by. And you go up to Lord Brahma, for his 100 years is 4.32 billion of our years. So the higher you get up the scale in the universe, from their point of view, we're going faster and faster. If you look down from Lord Brahma, like a record or a videotape on fast forward, all the centuries are going around and around and kingdoms rising and falling. It goes like that. So this is, you go up higher and higher to the Devatas and then to the other higher beings and then to Lord Brahma. So what happens when you cross over from Lord Brahma to Krishna? But the situation is transcendental. Then there is no past, present, or future whatsoever. The beginning and the end are simultaneous. Everything has happened at once. So from Krishna's point of view, there is no past, present, and future. So for him, practically speaking, his speaking this to Arjuna and his speaking to the sun god, they are simultaneous events. He doesn't... So as I said, we can't understand Krishna in this way, because for him, that's why he says Tamaham Veda. So I remember all of them. They're all happening. So things are just like when a satellite is launched, or one of those, what do they call those things? A space shuttle goes around, you know. In 1/24 of our hours, they go through something like, you know, they see 25 dawns and 25 sunsets. And so it's almost for them days are going faster in one of our 24 hours almost. So it seems like it's, they see so many. So there is actually a time dilation in the case with the demigods and so on. So Krishna, the final... thing is there, where to him, you can say the whole our past, present, and future, it's all instantaneous for him. For him, there's no past. For him, there's no present. For him, there's no future. And they're only relative to us in the material bodies. So he's in a different position. So he comes, and his coming also. There's another example that can be described. The sun appears to rise and set, but actually it's always there. So Krishna seems to appear and seems to disappear. But again, that's only from our relative position. He's always And his pastime, just like his pastime of Krishna, where he's disporting in Vrindavan with the gopis and with Mother Yashoda. And these are his, they're called Nitya Leela. They're eternal Leela. So they're shown here for some time. Just like it's shown here, and it seems to come and seems to go. But actually, all his pastimes are always going on. And when they are not seen here in this universe, then they're being seen somewhere else. The sun is shining, so somewhere it's always dawn. Somewhere it's always perpetually noon. It's also perpetually sunset. We sit here and it looks like the sun is advancing from dawn to noon to sunset, the tree sandhya. But actually, it's always dawn, it's always noon, it's always sunset somewhere. So Krishna's pastimes are eternally going on. So he doesn't come and go the way we conditioned souls come and go. So all these secrets, in a very terse way, he has to speak this Bhagavad Gita in a short time. Everybody's ready to fight. So Krishna's packed. And so they're on the same level. Many, many births, both you and I. So Arjuna and Krishna are the same. They're both spiritual beings. It is not that Arjuna is born and dies either, in a way. But he does, he takes on material bodies and leaves them off, different from Krishna. But still, he's spirit soul. So they're the same. We're also the same as Krishna. We're also Satchidananda Vigraha. But not this body, the soul. So we belong, in a way, to the same classification as Krishna. We are spiritual beings. But he is very great and we are very small. We fall down into this material world and become covered by the illusory energy. But when Krishna comes, he does not become covered. In the next verse, he says, Sambhavani Atma Mayaya. When I come by my own potency. We come, we appear here under the direction and control of material nature. But Krishna never comes under the control of material nature. So his coming here is quite different event from ours. So these things we should understand. This is what meant Krishna is Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should not estimate him by our own material calculation, that somehow or other he... Because sometimes we say this English word we use for avatar, incarnation, is misleading. Etymologically, it's misleading. Because the Latin word carne means flesh. So incarnation means to take on or to become flesh, to become material, to take on matter. Now, Krishna appears, avatar, but he doesn't really take on a material body. So we use the word incarnation. There's no other word available. But etymologically, it's a little misleading. We should be careful about that and not think of him as one of us. He's the eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's been explained here. And the best we can do to have some understanding of Krishna is not by our speculative knowledge, but by devotion. In the very beginning of this Bhagavad Gita, the very beginning of this chapter, Krishna says to Arjuna, you can understand everything I'm going to say to you. Bhaktosi me saka cheti rahasyam hetar uttamam. Rahasyam. So what I'm telling you is mysterious. Rahasyam means a mystery. You can understand this transcendental mystery because bhaktosi me sakachi, because you are my devotee and my friend. So we have to have that qualification to understand Krishna. He says later on in his Bhagavad Gita, I have never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. We have to become qualified as Krishna's devotee, and then Krishna becomes clear to us. It's just like trying to enter into the sun. We have to become, if you want to enter into a fire, you have to become fire. So we want to come close to Krishna, to understand Krishna, we have to become spiritual. Krishna's spirit, and we also have to become spiritual. So that process of becoming spirit, becoming spiritual, is called bhakti yoga. We can take our senses, our mind, our body, which are now all materially manifest, and by engaging them in devotional service, they become spiritualized. And then we can actually, to some extent, understand Krishna. So this is the opportunity, especially, to understand Krishna's appearance, because I said tomorrow is Janmashtami, the appearance of Krishna. On the eighth day of the waning moon, he appeared, Ashtami, so Janmashtami, his appearance day. So I'd like all of you to come tomorrow. Of course, we're going on all day long, but especially from 4 to midnight, because we go to midnight on Janmashtami because Krishna actually appeared at midnight. So usually the altar is closed and the devotees take rest at 9 o'clock. You can't at 8 o'clock you can't see Krishna anymore until the next morning. But on Janmashtami he stays up all night, and then there'll be abhishek, bathing of Krishna. And then there'll also be midnight aarti. So that's the one time we stay up. There'll be prasadam all day long, but after midnight there's a feast. And then on Tuesday, what you should do is not go to work. Tuesday is the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. He appeared the day after Janmashtami. So we have Vyasa Puja for Srila Prabhupada. In the morning we'll offer homages to Srila Prabhupada, and then there'll be a Pushpanjali ceremony at noontime, an aarti for Prabhupada, and then another feast. So Monday and Tuesday are two big days for observing the appearance of Krishna, and then the appearance of Krishna's devotee who brought the Krishna consciousness to the West, Srila Prabhupada. So you're invited to come for all of those programs. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Huh? Yeah, several. Why don't we start there and work our way across? Yes? Yeah. Oh, the four regular principles came much, much earlier. They're always there. They're right in the Vedas. So, before, during, and after, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Krishna, before that, in the Kapila Dev came. So Krishna, when he spoke to the sun god, they were there. His principles are actually eternal principles, so Krishna speaks them many times. You know why he says them over and over again? Because we keep forgetting.
One other quick question. Let's say, even if everybody didn't completely observe God or for worshiping fully, if at least the four principles were practiced by America, especially here in North America, by everyone, myself included, do you think probably the primary and the disease rate?
infinitely. Sometimes Prabhupada talks about the four regular principles, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex. It's not a qualification to be a devotee, but a qualification to be a human being. So, definitely improve civilization. Yeah.
You were talking about at the beginning of the lecture how there are beings on the sun,
yeah,
and fireflies, and that our material scientists do not know.
Yeah.
Does that mean there are living beings on other planets like Mercury?
It sure does. And the moon. But somehow or other, they couldn't make contact. You know, just like those people from Haiti trying to come to America. You can say they come to America, but they end up in quarantine and they never get to enjoy. They never get to come to the shopping malls.